Open 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I want you to listen up, if you would. I dealt with something Wednesday night, and I want to kind of get on something along the same lines today. Years ago, I'll use for an illustration to think about. Years ago, Brother Foster, Sister Dorsey's husband, he gave me a watch, a Rolex watch. And he gave it to me, pretty watch. And but he told me when he gave it to me, he said, "Now, this is not a real Rolex." I wore it one time, and when I was working EMS, and police chief, which was a good friend of mine at the time, offered me $2,000 for it. I just about took it, but I couldn't hardly sell it to him because I knew the fact that it wasn't real. But I didn't know the difference. I didn't know how to tell the difference. But now, Brother Foster, he dealt with watches and jewelry, and he had a keen knowledge. This morning, I want to preach upon something very important: how to know a real Christian. And I want to share with you a thought or two, and I want you to listen up. The Bible tells us that Satan is a great deceiver. You know what it means to be deceived, don't you? To think something that's not the way it is. But not only is Satan a great deceiver, but we deceive ourselves. The Bible says, "He who thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse 3, that people goes around, they are deceiving themselves. There's this idea today, I don't know, some people calls it easy believism, some people calls it all kinds of things, where you just basically believe, live any life you want to live, do anything you want to do, and profess you to be saved. That sounds good. But if you're not saved, eternity is a long time to spend in hell. The Bible is clear on some things. This morning, we want to look at what it means to be a new creature. Look, if you will, begin reading in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians in verse number 16. "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore," now pay attention right here, "therefore if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away." What does that mean, by the way? "Behold, all things are become new." Now we're going to get on that in just a moment. "And all things are of who? God." In other words, this is something that you might think that you could portray for yourself or work up for yourself, but it's only of God. You see, God has to born you again. You can't born yourself again. Only God can do it. So, therefore, all things are of God. Look on. "Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Now notice verse 21 as well. "For he hath made him to be" what? "Sin for" who? "Who knew no sin, that we might be made" what? "The righteousness of God in him." Now, this morning, I want to look upon what it takes to be a new creature. Now, let me say this just as groundwork, and then I want to get on the salvation, true salvation. Now, if you get thinking about it, you need to understand, and I know we've dealt with this several times, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but there are a triune being, each of you are. You have a body, soul, and spirit. Until you are saved, your spirit is dead. The Bible says dead in trespasses and sin. Your flesh is sinful. In your flesh dwelleth no good thing. There is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. Your flesh does nothing but lust of things that are wrong. So you got your flesh is wrong, you got your spirit that's dead, and you got your soul. The soul is your reasoning, your affections, it's your memory, it's all the things that you find the rich man had in hell. All those things makes up your soul. And so therefore, what happens is, until you are saved, your flesh dominates your soul. Now, in saying that, you also need to understand you have a conscience. And some people say, well, my conscience will save me. But you got to understand, your conscience is only as good as the environment that you grow up in. In other words, we were blessed to grow up in an environment of a lot of spiritual teaching. Therefore, even though I was not saved at one point, there was a lot of things that my conscience bothered me about that other people that grows up in another environment, maybe a lot more sinful environment, they don't have any qualms about doing because they think it's okay to do that. You can't rely upon your conscience. Your conscience is there, but it also is affected by the environment in which you live. But when your spirit is made alive, the Bible says that His Spirit, you're born of the Spirit of God, and you are dwelt by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. In other words, once you are born again of the Spirit, His Spirit comes in you until you are redeemed and given a new body. Now, you've got to also remember this, that His, John chapter 8, verse number 16 says that His Spirit witnesses with your spirit that you are a child of God. So you have the witness, the Holy Spirit. But I want to look at what it takes to be made a new creature. There is a part of salvation that people misses. Now, if I took, if I took a dollar bill, who's on a dollar bill? George Washington, but I could also say an eye over pyramid is a dollar bill. I could say as well, one wrote real big is a dollar bill. I could say there's an eagle on the back of the dollar bill. And so I could say all those things make up a dollar bill. I said that to say this, all those things would be true. Now, if I was to ask you what it takes to be saved, some of you would say, well, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I would say you're absolutely right. You say, well, to believe upon Him makes us a believer. That's true. To put faith in Christ, that's true. To trust in God's finished work through Jesus Christ, all those things, believing. But there's this process that people gets into of believing that just believing upon Christ will save you. Now, the Bible says that even the devils believed that He's one God, and they trembled. In other words, the devils knew that there was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They knew who Jesus was. When Jesus come walking upon them one day, they said, whoa, thou Son of the Most High God, what hast thou to do with us? Hast thou come to torment us before our time? They knew who Jesus was. But did that save them? No, and the Bible says even the devils believed and trembled at Jesus. Now, this is a part that I want to get to this morning. What part does repentance play in salvation? A lot of places have quit preaching any repentance. What does it mean to repent? Now, some people said, well, preacher, as long as I believe, that's all that counts. Well, let's look at a few verses and stay with me a few moments. And I want to show you a couple things, and I want you to stay with me for just a few moments. Look, if you would, in Acts. Somebody said, well, it never says, faith and repentance. I had someone tell me that one time. There's no scripture that says that we need to believe and repent both. Look, if you would, in Acts chapter 20. Now, keep your Bibles handy for just a few moments. We're going to fly through them. Acts chapter number 20. And in a minute, I'm going to get on what is repentance and what does it mean. And how does it play a role in making you a new creature? Now, we do know that our faith is what pleases God. And the Bible says, we are saved by grace through faith, and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I don't have any qualms about believing, putting your faith in Christ. But I want you to understand a little more depth of what it means to be a new creature. To be a new creature means that you see things differently. It means that you are a different person than you was before you got saved. And how does that work in salvation? Look, if you would, in Acts chapter 20, and begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 18. Notice here, the Bible says, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, what? What? Repentance toward who? God. And what? Faith in who? Now, when it talks about faith in Lord Jesus Christ, it talks about his finished work upon Calvary. The fact that he was the Son of God, he came to the earth and took a human form, and he came for the purpose of dying for our sins. This is a gospel that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, how that he came and he died according to scriptures, he was buried according to scriptures, and he resurrected according to scriptures. In other words, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. When we believe in Jesus, that's what we believe in, that he took our place, that we wouldn't have to die and go to hell, but through his sacrifice, he was made sin for us, that we might be made through him the righteousness of God. In other words, his righteousness, the fact that he had no sin, is imputed to us as lost beings and when we are saved. And when God looks upon us, we are justified because of Jesus. Now stay with me a minute. I want to show you something. Now notice here that he talks about repentance toward God. Now sometimes you can get in and some people says, well, this is what I want you to do. And you got to be careful with this. Let me tell you this. Be very, very careful with this. Some people say, well, this is how we get you saved. We want you to go down the Romans road with us. Let's read these verses right here. Now say this prayer after me. Now can I say this? There may be no repentance at all in that. Just because they went down and read, I could go to about anybody and say, do you believe Jesus was Son of God? Oh, yeah, yeah. It's got to go deeper. Now say with me a minute. What does repentance mean? Now, we'll get to that in just a moment, but look in your Bible again, and let's go to a couple other places real quickly, if you would. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, rather. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I should have had you just keep your finger there a while ago. Notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Notice in verse number 9. He says, now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to what? Repentance. For there's that word again, repentance. He said, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh what? Repentance to who? Where? Salvation, not to be what? repented of. Now, where it talks about, in other words, it's not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. In other words, it says that when you have been made sorry to the point where you truly repent unto God, you'll never regret that day. There'll be no regrets that you ever made. There's some things that I regret. Things I still regret. But I have been completely satisfied with Jesus. In other words, I never regret the day I got saved. How many is here that regrets the day you got saved? That'd be foolish, wouldn't it? Now, let me say this because it's important. There's a lot of people who claims to be saved that's not saved. And I'm going to show you here in just a moment how you can tell. Now, look if you would again in your Bibles and go with me if you would to John chapter number 17. Now in John chapter 17, this is Jesus. Sometimes we talk about the Lord's Prayer. This is truly the Lord's Prayer. This is him praying before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now notice a couple things that he said here in his prayer. Notice in verse number 6. He said, Jesus talking to his Father. He said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Now, we talked about last Wednesday night that where God had given him certain people and all about what he's talking about. But he says, thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have what? Kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have what? Received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Now, let me say this. It is impossible to be saved without believing that Jesus is a gift of God, and he's a son of God that come to die for your sins. Somebody said, well, preacher, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. You're deceiving yourself. Now, also, if you have not been made a new creature and you say you've been saved, you're deceiving yourself. We're going to get into what it means to be a new creature. Now, think about this just a few moments and turn, if you would, in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. Now, think about the fact, what does it mean to be a new creature? Old things are passed away. All things become new. I'll get to it in just a moment. But in Matthew chapter 9, notice this. Let me get over there. Matthew chapter 9, look with me if you would in verse number 13. Jesus said, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to what?
Repentance.
There's that word, repentance. Now some people says, what does repentance mean? Well, some people said, well, it means just a change of mind. Now listen to me. If repentance just means a change of mind, we change our mind all the time. I would say there's one sex that changes their mind more than the others, but I won't get into that. You don't know which one I'm talking about.
Men.
See, you thought, men? Okay. Okay. My point is this. It's got to be more than a change of mind. The word repentance means to have a change in perception. You perceive. The moment you were saved, you perceive things differently. When you repent to God, you repent because of what? What brings you to the point of repent?
Sorry.
Sorry for what? Sin. Before you get saved, you perceive sin differently. Sin doesn't bother you in the way it does after you get saved.
When it means that you are a new creature, all things are passed away and all things become new, it's your perception that changes. You could get saved. I could walk up here and get saved. And I could stand up and I would be the same person that you saw walk down as I walk back if you look at appearance. It's my perception that has changed. What has brought me to the point of repentance is this. I heard the gospel. And when I heard the gospel, I heard that Jesus came, the Son of God, as a gift from God through His grace and mercy, that He came to die for the sins of the whole world. And then I came to the point where I realized that I was a sinner. My sin made me sorry toward God, and I recognized that I was lost, dying, going to hell if I didn't repent of my sin and turn to Jesus for my salvation. And when I turned, I recognized then that all my perception and all the ways I treated sin up to this point was wrong. And all of a sudden, I was guilty before God. The Holy Ghost come convicting me of sin and reproving me of sin, and He brought me and drawn me to come to Jesus, and I come sorry for my sin, believing in faith in Jesus Christ and what He did. You say, well, preacher, how many steps? It's not. It's just two aspects of the same thing. Faith, repentance, it all works together. You see, what brought you to Jesus, if you truly got saved, was the fact of your faith in Him and believing the gospel message of Jesus Christ. But also, what you had to do was, you had to turn from your sin and your ways that you were traveling and turn to God through Christ. And when you did that, you turned having a different perception of your sin. And when He come in and He born you again, you become a new creature and you never look at things the same way again. Amen. When you look at the world now, sin is destroying everything. And by the way, does it mean you don't sin? You probably don't, do you, huh? Look here. Doesn't mean as a Christian you don't sin. But your perception of that sin is different. When you sin, it looks ugly. You may say, well, I continue. Some of the greatest men of God dealt in it after they were saved. But they all hid, knew, recognized. Their perception was different. Now stay with me a minute. Somebody said, I said early this morning, I said, I hope you came here because you wanted and was you came because there was something inside of you wanted to be here. I really have, now stay with me. I really have a problem with people who has no desire to be around things of God. And yet they make this profession of being saved. They don't have a different... When I look at the world, I see sin destroying everything. When I see families, when I see homes, when I see children, when I see all this, I see sin, 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 sin. Since I've been saved, everything I see is sin. I look in the mirror, and you know what I see? I'd like to say I see just a glowing reflection. But you know what I see? Sin. There's something in with me. I can't justify myself. There was something that came into me that day when I got saved that now I have a different perception. Amen. Repentance gives you a different perception. It keeps you from just saying, preacher, I got. How many times have you ever seen somebody walk down the aisle and say they got saved and you never see them again? I've seen that several times. I mean, one time during the history of this church, we saw in four months baptizing every single service we had for 4 months. 69 people got saved. during that process of time. My question is, where's the 69? Now, I know where some of them are. Some of them, you're sitting here. Where are they? You say, well, preacher, are you saying you have to go to church if you're saved? No, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that there will be a desire in you to do something. You never do. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God teaches you these things. Somebody said, well, I never had anyone to teach me. Well, the Holy Ghost God, when he comes into you, when you made a new creature, you perceive things differently. Amen. I used to, before I got saved, boy, when I heard preaching, it was my enemy. You know why? It cut me like a sword. It cut me up. But now look here. Stay with me in your Bible real quickly. And let's go to a couple verses real quickly. And I'm going to close. Now stay with me. Look if you would in Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. Notice this. Verse 32. I came not to call the righteous, but what? Sinners to repentance. Turn back if you would to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. The Bible says in Luke chapter 3, and he came into all the country about Jordan preaching the baptism of what? Repentance for what? Remission of sins. And so what we need to understand is we need to understand that, and look if you would in chapter 13 real quickly. Chapter 13. Jesus said this. He said, I tell you nay, but what? What? Except you repent, what? Perish. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Look if you would in verse 5. Jesus said again, I tell you nay, but except what? You repent, you shall what? Look if you would in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I know this is a familiar verse, but I want to share it before I close up. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise in verse number 9, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come what? To repentance. To this changing. Now look here, stay with me a minute. Look on. A couple more places, and I'm going to close. Look if you would in Hebrews chapter number 6. In Hebrews chapter number 6, people was teaching there that you could kindly be saved and lost, so forth. And so he makes it clear, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but if you notice verse number 1 through 3 and verse 9, Paul's talking about we. Then he's talking about them, they, and those in verse number 4 through 6. He refers to other people besides himself. But if you notice in verse number 6 what he says, if they should fall away, to renew themselves again into what? Repentance, seeing that they crucify themselves, the Son of God afresh, and put him to open shame. In other words, he said, listen, if it was possible, you'd have to continually have to crucify Jesus over again and do it again. Now, the point I'm trying to get across to you is this. Now, listen to me very carefully. It would be a crying shame to deceive yourself. It'd be a shame to let other people deceive you, and one day, all of a sudden, you wake up in hell, and you're tormented in flames, and you have regrets then. Today, if you hear his voice, today's the day. One more place, and I'm closing right here. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter number 24. Read here and I'll put it together and we'll close. Look if you would in verse number 46. The Bible says, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that what? Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Please listen to me. Are you listening? You claim to be saved, and you go right back here and living a life alienated from God, never bringing God into your life, that's not a new creature. Your perception of things are wrong. Perception means that you look upon things because of you are made a new creature. Don't mean it. It don't mean Brother Junior can't do something. It just means he can never look at it that way again. Repentance has brought to him a different perception of himself. When he sees himself, he'll look differently to himself. When he sees Jesus, he'll have a different perception of Jesus. When he looks at the world, he'll have a different perception of the world. When he looks at the flesh, he'll see a different perspective of the flesh. And that's what you need to understand. When it says that you're made a new creature, somebody said, well, I had that one habit and I quit it, so I'm a new... That's not what he means. That your perception of what you was doing before you got saved is completely different from your perception when you get saved, because now you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You see things differently. Let me ask you this. Do you have that new perception? Is there been a change in your life? Let's stand this morning. Maybe you're here and you need to come and be saved this morning. God is dealing your heart, and today is the day He's drawing you, and you feel the Spirit of God draw you to come. You need to come. Maybe there's something else that God's dealing with your heart about just coming. However God may lead you, would you obey? But listen, there's no greater important question than you can ask yourself, am I saved? And if you're saved, faith not only played a role in it, but also repentance, because both are aspects of true salvation in making a new creature in Christ Jesus. Allowing things to be different. I've had people say, well, preacher, I got saved, and there's nothing different in me. Well, chances are you didn't get saved, because there's a different perspective. How about this morning? Maybe.